1 Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, critical race theory, defund the police, and more. Again, visit FloridaVotesValues.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
We are continuing our sermon series, Applying Biblical Principles to Government. And why are we continuing this? Why are we talking about this topic? Well, it's because, first of all, God not only created individuals, but He also created individuals to live in covenants. He created individuals to live in families. So God speaks, and the Bible speaks to families. And God also created individuals to live and for families to make up churches. And so the Bible speaks to churches. And God also created government. And the Bible speaks to government. And the Bible says that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked are in authority, the people groan. In America, we have the right to actually elect and the responsibility to actually elect the righteous to rule over us, to be in authority, to be in places of power, to be in our city council, or to be in our county commission, or in our school board. And right now, some people have already voted. Some people are voting either early voting or vote by mail. And on the 23rd, if you are registered to vote and you're going to vote and you haven't voted yet, that's election day. And we will actually be in many counties throughout the state be actually electing those who will actually sit on many seats, including county commission, city council, school board. Many of these races will be decided right now in this primary election, and really an election where not everyone votes. So Christians can actually have even a bigger impact by, first of all, knowing what the Bible and learning what the Bible says about government. Secondly, applying biblical principles to government and looking at where the candidates stand on issues, and then applying those biblical principles to those particular races and selecting the candidates that most closely represent the principles found in the Word of God, and being registered to vote and actually showing up and voting according to biblical values, not just blindly voting or skipping races that you're not sure about, studying to show yourself approved. Well, how are you going to, first of all, find out what God says about government? Well, you can find out by reading the Bible. Of course, time is short, so maybe you don't have quite enough time to read, and really it takes years to develop really a biblical worldview on government. But we have actually been preaching, and we've done it every election cycle for several years, several election cycles, applying biblical principles to government. And you can go to our church website, covenanttabernacle.com, or our church Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center, our church YouTube channel, Covenant Tabernacle. You can even go to the WCNO on listen on demand and listen to our previous sermons on this the last few weeks as well. But so that's how you can find out what the Bible says about this issue. Also, you can actually look and you can see where the candidates stand on issues by going to FloridaVotesValues.com, FLVotes, VOTES, values, VALUES, lighthousemh.com. We do have local voter guides in select counties. We also have links to the iVoter Guide, where you'll be able to actually go and look, and the state and the federal races are covered. And in some counties, actually, the school board races are covered as well. And then we also have a judicial voter guide as well, which will help you determine which judicial judge candidate that's running for judge, which one to vote for. And so we want to encourage you to go there, and we're going to actually read a quote from Charles Carroll of Carrollton. He's a signer of the Declaration of Independence. Without morals, a republic cannot subsist any length of time. They, therefore, who are decrying the Christian religion, whose morality is so sublime and pure, and which denounce against the wicked eternal misery, and which ensure to the good eternal happiness, are undermining the solid foundation and morals and best security for the duration of a free government. Richard Henry Lee, signer of the Declaration of Independence, said this: "It is certainly true that a popular government cannot flourish without virtue in the people." And Jedediah Moore, the patriot and father of American geography, said this: "To the kindly influence of Christianity, we owe that degree of civil freedom and political and social happiness which mankind now enjoys. Whenever the pillars of Christianity shall be overthrown, our present republican form of government and all the blessings which flow from them must fall with them." And so that's what some of our founding fathers actually talked about when they talked about this issue. We're going to review some of the principles that we have talked about in the past. And one is that rulers must recognize God as our creator. This is really where it all starts. Rulers also must read God's law and learn to fear God. That's why they were to read God's law. Rulers must be just. Judges also must judge justly. Our constitutional laws really should be based on God's law. The founding fathers, they didn't get it perfect. They didn't get everything right, but they actually did read the Bible, and they studied principles in the Bible and applied them to government. They actually also read John Locke's Treatise on Government, which had over 2,000 Bible passages referenced actually 2,000 different passages in the Bible to apply biblical principles to government. So also, rulers should honor God. Rulers should defend innocent human life. And rulers should defend God-defined marriage between one man and one woman. Rulers must return the law of God, the Bible, prayer, and creation science to public schools. Also, rulers must live within their means, not just personally, but really as in government, restraining these huge bureaucracies and doing so much that really the government doesn't need to do. Rulers must stay within their delegated authority and provide checks and balances to others. Rulers must keep the rule of law. In other words, apply, enforce the laws that are on the books. Rulers must support biblical criminal justice reform. Rulers must defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Rulers must defend Israel, must protect our borders, and not allow our laws and others to mistreat strangers or those who are coming into our country from another country. Rulers also must protect property rights. This is from Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 14. you shall not remove your neighbor's landmark, which the men of old have set in your inheritance, which you will inherit in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. So rulers really should protect property rights. The property that was given to the children of Israel was supposed to be given to their children upon their death as an inheritance, and to their children upon their death as an inheritance, and to their children upon their death, and so on and so forth. Our current property tax structure actually prevents this from happening in some cases. If someone becomes poor, cannot pay their property tax, well, what happens is the property will be taken away from them unless it's homesteaded. If it is homesteaded, then upon their death, that property would need to be sold, or the property tax would need to be paid. And so so you actually have a disinheriting through property tax. If another type of tax were put into place, or the government were just to shrink to the place where it doesn't need the property tax, then we could actually have property being passed down without the risk of being taken because of not paying the property taxes. Rulers must also defend the right to defend yourself. You see, this is actually biblical. You may not know this. There's a lot of debate about gun control and what types of guns should be allowed. And there's a thought that some people have that if there weren't any guns, there wouldn't be any murders. Of course, the first recorded murder of all time happened without a gun, happened even without a knife. All you need is a rock or a stick or something, or sometimes even your own hands to actually, if you're intent on killing someone, or maybe enraged and you kill someone in rage, you don't need a weapon to do that. So in Exodus chapter 22, verse 2, this is part of the case laws of Exodus that we read from last week. If the thief is found breaking in and he is struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. In other words, if someone is breaking in, you catch them breaking in and you kill them. In our modern day culture, because we do have guns, if you shoot them and they die, there's no guilt. In other words, it's not a murder. You're not committing murder. You're defending your house. You're defending your property. You're defending yourself. You're defending your family. And that is justified. The Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States says this: a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And then Noah Webster said this: the supreme power in America cannot enforce unjust laws by the sword, because the whole body of the people are armed and constitute a superior force to any band of regular troops that can be on any pretense raised in the United States. In other words, Noah Webster was saying that actually the people of the United States will keep the government of the United States in check because they own arms, and the government would then be unable to actually enforce unjust rules. Rulers must also love liberty. And we read from Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10, proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all the inhabitants. And that passage is actually inscribed on the Liberty Bell. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. Psalm 119, verse 45 says this: and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. And see, you see there, there's actually a balance. When we seek the precepts of God, God gives us liberty. Doesn't give us liberty to just go out and commit all kinds of sin. We actually have that liberty because we're keeping his precepts. And the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States says this: Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people to peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And so here we see really that an amendment that is misinterpreted quite often. So many people take this to mean that the government would actually not allow the church to influence government. That's not what this says. What this says is that the government shall not restrict speech, and the government shall not also restrict religion, shall allow it to exist. It would be wrong for the government to say, hey, there's one particular sect, like let's say the Baptist faith or the Catholic faith or the Presbyterians, we're going to make this the official religion of America. But it's also wrong for the government to say, well, we can't have prayer in schools. We can't have the Bible in schools. We can't have the Ten Commandments in schools, or the church can't be involved in the public place. We need to actually allow for the free discourse of ideas, and the church needs to be a part of that. Christians need to be a part of that. Baptists and Methodists and Lutherans and Presbyterians and Charismatics and Catholics need to be a part of speaking forth the Word of God and applying it to every area of government, including our cities, our states, and our national government. Samuel Adams, signer of the Declaration of Independence, said this: neither the wisest constitution nor the wisest laws will secure the liberty and happiness of a people whose manners are universally corrupt. So this liberty really comes from being a godly people, being people that exercise self-discipline, that apply God's word to our lives, so that we can then live according to God's commandments, and then we see this liberty happen. Benjamin Franklin, signer of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, said this: only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. And we talked that one passage a few weeks ago that either the Bible will rule you or the bayonet, either the Bible or the sword. And so when we actually look at the Bible and we apply biblical principles to our lives and we live according to God's commandments, God then can bless us as a nation. He can bless us as a state. He can bless us as a county, as a city, and we can experience great freedom because we are restraining ourselves to keep God's commandments. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court said this: no free government now exists in the world unless where Christianity is acknowledged and is the religion of that country. So it is very important, it is vitally important that we actually live according to God's commandments and God's precepts. If we want liberty, it's one thing to want liberty, but to have liberty, we need to be a moral people to live according to God's commandments. One thing that the Bible says, God actually warned the children of Israel against becoming fat and well-fed and then forgetting God. What does this mean? Well, and we'll read here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 10 through 20. When you have eaten and are full, God's actually talking to the children of Israel about how when they go into the land of the promised land, that they would actually be blessed. When you eat and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. When you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hands have gained me this wealth, and you remember, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he might establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God, and follow other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you today, this day, that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. So here is this warning to not become fat and well fed, to not allow yourself, you know, it's easy when good things are happening in your life, it's easy to actually forget God, to forget your dependence upon God, to look and say, wow, look at how many good things I have, and to not thank God. It's easy to say, well, this is because of what I've done. I've worked hard, I've earned things, and boy, God, you know, I've been blessed. To not even really thank God and to thank him and to put to really realize that it is because of him that you even are alive today. It is because of him that you have had the wisdom. It's because of him that you've been able to work hard. And it's because of his blessings that you have been blessed. Certainly, we do have a role there, and we need to get up. We need to be diligent. We need to work hard. But God is the one that should get the glory, and we should not stop obeying him and stop seeking him because we are blessed. So the warning here was to not become fat and well fed. One of the things you see when you look in the Bible, as the nation of Israel was blessed, they would experience prosperity, and what would happen is that prosperity would come from obedience. It would lead to blessing. They would then become complacent in their blessing, and they would then start disobeying God, forgetting God, becoming fat and well fed, forgetting him, not thanking him. They would then, that disobedience would lead to God's judgment, which would eventually lead to bondage. And they would then repent at some point. They would realize we have sinned. We've violated God's commandments. God would then raise up a deliverer. And you see this time and time again throughout the book of Judges. You see this pattern. John Adams, a signer of the Declaration of Independence and second president of the United States, and a man without which we may not have a nation, because he was the one that really held things together and really brought people from different factions together. He said this: it is religion and morality alone that can establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand. The only foundation of a free constitution is pure virtue. He also said this, "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passion, unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the governance of any other." We in this nation need to turn back to God. We need to fall on our faces before Him because we have failed Him. We have experienced great prosperity in this nation, and we have become fat and well-fed. We have forgotten Him. We have allowed preborn children to be murdered, over 66 million preborn children, and it's still, even with Roe versus Wade being overturned, babies are still being killed. In fact, women from other states are actually coming to our state to pay an abortionist to rip their baby's limbs off and crush their baby's skull. We need to turn back to God. We need to repent of our sins and turn to Him. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, "When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locust to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land." We today need to, in addition to studying what the Bible says about government, studying where the candidates stand on issues, and being engaged in voting, we need to repent of our sins and ask God to forgive us for violating His commandments. As a nation, we need to repent on behalf of our nation, even as Daniel did on behalf of his nation. We need to repent and ask God to forgive us for our sins. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
First Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, critical race theory, defund the police, and more. Again, visit FloridaVotesValues.com.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello and welcome to the Grace Alive radio broadcast, a ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Thank you for joining us today as we listen to a message recorded live during our Sunday worship service. Our prayer for you today is that this message would bring deeper knowledge of the truth of God and a deeper walk with Jesus. While listening today, if you have questions or you'd like us to pray with you, please text us at 772-205-6552, and we will reply with a text or phone call. Today, we listen to message 4 in a series titled, Living in the Goodness of God. God is good. We keep repeating these words. We proclaim them even. They are true. God cannot be anything other than good. Yet we look throughout